If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your 6- and 7-figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast. I'm your co-host, Dr. Monica Ogando.
And I'm Amy Walker.
Today, last week, you picked my brain. Today, I'm picking yours. We're going to be talking about using your speaking as an income stream for your thought leadership platform.
Yes.
And I'm excited.
Me too, because I like to speak and I cannot lie.
Oh, your musical tourette makes me so proud.
Yes, except half the time, I don't actually know the real words to songs, so I just make stuff up.
You make it up, yes. And then you sound brilliant. Like, wow, you must have really known that song to be able to change the lyrics like that.
Well, what was really fun was when my kids were little, they just thought I had, like, very, very great musical talent that I could make up songs on a whim. It's more that I can make up lyrics on a whim and match it to somebody else's song.
Yes, yes.
Okay, speaking, though, I really want to, like, stick my flag pull in on this one.
Yes.
You should consider speaking as a part of your business. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't really care if you're not a speaker. Mm-hmm. I think that speaking is a piece of your puzzle. And if you are a speaker and you are, that's what you consider yourself first and foremost as your speaker, then I want you to embrace the fact that speaking is a piece of your puzzle for your business, because there are far too many speakers out there that are hustling constantly and they have no future security because if they get sick, everything cancels.
Yeah.
Or if COVID happens and everything cancels, then all of a sudden they are scrambling. The game has changed, my friends. Right. The game has changed. Absolutely. So there's a few different ways that you can make money as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to start off with the bigger piece of what speaking actually does for your business. If you're mm-hmm. not a speaker, you're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
It builds your authority.
Mm-hmm.
It is for lead generation, gets you out in front of new people.
That's true.
It helps you be able to elevate the perception of the brand and associate with other bigger brands.
Mm.
So even if you were like, I don't know, Monica, give me a business that you don't think could use speaking and I'll tell you how I would use speaking.
Okay. Car sales.
Okay. Car sales. So you're a car salesman and you're looking at it saying, I don't need to speak. I sell cars. Well, you actually would benefit from, I'm going to tell you the types of speaking gigs that I would look for you. And then let's talk about like how you would actually utilize this. Mm-hmm. So number one is you need to recruit car salesmen. Like recruiting is going to be one of your biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. So going out and speaking in universities and teaching like sales would be a way that you could build your recruitment platform. But it also would be a way that you could potentially bring some people in to buy their first car after graduation, kind of a deal.
That's true.
So you could use speaking that way. Mm-hmm. The other thing is speaking within the Chamber of Commerce or the networking meetings within the city and speaking within your local small business community, because you're going to be building a lot of relationships and establishing a brand where now you have brand recognition. So if you're sponsoring or speaking at like the local Chamber of Commerce, you now can have brand recognition with everybody else that's on the bill, but you didn't have to create those opportunities on your own. So that's a little bit more of a stretch. Good job picking an industry that like they could be okay without speaking. But for the most part, most small business owners, what you need is you need more visibility. You need more leads.
Yeah.
You need more collaborations and you need more brand recognition. And speaking accomplishes all of that. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing about speaking is when I teach lead generation strategies, I tell people to pay attention to the ones that are quick converting versus the ones that are power builds, where it's going to take a while before those sales convert. Speaking is the fastest for conversions on all of my list of marketing opportunities. If you can get in a live room in front of real people and speak to them, you can literally sign them up at the end of an hour and walk out of the room with checks in hand or card numbers in hand and new clients and new deals. So it's very fast converting. The other thing is it's very low cost for you. In fact, you might even get paid to do the speaking, and then you get money on the front end and you get money on the back end. So it's low cost and it's quick conversion, which is amazing. We love those types of opportunities for marketing. So I definitely think it's a worthwhile puzzle piece that everyone should consider having in there. There are different reasons and different motivators behind why we speak, though. So some people are speaking because that's really at the core. That is what they want to do. And they just want to get paid. They want higher rates that they're getting paid, and they want to speak more frequently. Some people, like myself, we speak to get business. Like, I love speaking. Speaking is super fun. But I recognize that there's a fundamental difference between me versus somebody who they just want to be a speaker. Because at the end of the day, why I'm speaking is because I want to come home with leads or clients.
Right, right.
What kind of speaker would you say you are, Monica?
I'm typically like a keynote speaker, right? In terms of like the paid gigs, but in terms of like lead generation, I think I'm an interrupter in terms of like laying out distinctions, and then people are like, wait a minute, now I need more.
Yeah. So I prefer, like, I will be happy to take your check and you can pay me to be the keynote, but I prefer speak to sell opportunities. It works better in my business model because, and there, again, there are different business models. So you can speak to sell, you can speak for a fee, you can speak to sell, or you can speak for leads. I don't talk about speak for free because if someone's not going to give me leads, and they're not going to pay me, why in the world would I do that speaking gig other than just it's my 10% tithe that they're, I pick organizations that I speak to for no expectation of anything in return. Just that's my place where I give back. So, and I know Monica, you do that as well.
Yeah.
So let's kind of, should we break down the three a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So if you are doing speak to sell, what you're looking for is who has your ideal client in their audience.
Right.
And how can you, oh, you know, the other one we haven't talked about is pay to play. We'll throw that one in there too. So who already has your audience that, and where are they? And sometimes the speak to sell rooms are not the big stages. They're like small audiences. So if you can get in front of 50 of your ideal clients, you will sometimes convert more than being in front of 1,000 of your ideal clients, because there's intimacy and there's connection and there's trust. And that is what will motivate people when you get done to be like, I got to have you back. How can we get you in our office? Could you teach this to our team? So finding the right audience that are your ideal people and knowing who they are. And then the process of getting them is really, it's a fairly simple process. You've got to research to find them. Then you've got to reach out to pitch to them. And then you've got to follow up. And then you've got to coordinate the deal, the dates, what you get to offer, you know, all that stuff. So it's not a very hard process, but it is one that requires consistent effort. If you want to be speaking regularly to groups like that, you would need to be pitching regularly. And what will happen is you'll send out your pitches and you'll usually get a response back from them a couple months later. Why? Because they already have a few months worth of speakers booked out. So I have a client right now who was just went to pitch an organization for, they just had their 2022 conference in November. And in December, she reached out to pitch herself for the 2023 conference. And they were like, oh, this is perfect timing for 2024. We're booking our speakers right now for 2024. So the bigger the conference, the longer that range is of when they're booking their speakers.
Exactly.
If you are doing, you're wanting to get paid to speak, then you really should consider this a sales process. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to, again, be researching. It's the same process, researching, pitching, negotiating, and then organizing the details. But also you want to make sure that at every event that you're doing, and this is an NSA process, that you're collecting feedback forms. And on those feedback forms, one of the things you're asking is, do you have any organizations you know are looking for a speaker? Now, all the NSA speakers do this. What they do not do is have a salesperson who's actually going through all of those papers, following up with all of them, and facilitating getting the conversation booked so that you can consistently book yourself to speak.
Right.
So this would be a role in your company that you should have somebody internally who is functioning as your speaker's agent mm-hmm. that is out there consistently pitching you. This is the biggest problem I see with speakers who are keynote and they're wanting to get paid is they don't have anyone on the team assigned to making that happen. Regularly. It's all dependent on the speaker. But then you're also the one who has to write the speeches, and you're also the one who has to travel. And you're also the one who has to, you know, like this, somebody needs to be in charge of that. And if you are traveling a lot, that should not be you. You're actually mm-hmm. the worst person to have do it because you're in it somewhere different all the time.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So then you've got the pay to play speaking opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
These I only recommend once you know that you already sell well from stage. So a lot of times these get pitched to new speakers and new business owners. And I think it's the wrong season for that. Because if you're brand new, yes, you can pay to get yourself in front of 1,000 people. But the reality is once you're there, is your speech, first of all, compelling enough? And second, is your offer well-defined enough that you're going to be able to walk out with more money than you paid to get there?
Mm-hmm.
And for most new speakers, the answer is no.
Right.
So I recommend that pay to play come after speak to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fourth type of speaking gig, and this is where I think most people need to start, is speaking for leads. Like picture that you are standing on the side of the road with your cardboard sign and it says, we'll speak for leads. Okay. But not right. We'll speak for free. Right. So yes, you need a place to practice and you've got to craft your skill before you move up into paid opportunities. However, there should always be something to gain from the speaking gig. So you need to be able to generate leads. And mm-hmm. honestly, if someone won't let, I've had places where they're like, you can't do any lead generation. You're going to pay for your own travel. There's no sales whatsoever. And in my mind, I'm like, then why in the world would I want to leave my family to go there?
Right. Unless you're paying me, because then that's a paid gig.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just that. Those are your four categories. Make sure mm-hmm. you know which ones you need at this phase of your business.
Yeah.
And then be cognizant when you are out speaking that your speaking does so much more for you than that one transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you're in an audience and you're speaking, there is opportunities that are your branch off opportunities. So for example, if I'm at a speaking gig, Monica and I met at a speaking gig. We were both speaking. Mm-hmm. So then we developed the relationship, which then leads into collaborations, which then years later leads into laughing hysterically in the Panera Bread of New Orleans. And
cackling, really. Cackling.
Yeah. Which then leads into partnerships, right? Yeah, so, yeah. But be aware of who else is there and be proactively relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that can come out of speaking gigs is sponsorships. So opportunities for them to sponsor you as a speaker. So for example, if you're at an event and you're speaking and then there's a vendor that's mm-hmm. there, that vendor wants more opportunities to speak, but they don't have the ability or anyone in house, sometimes they will sponsor a speaker and then you can reach out to organizations and say, hey, I am a sponsored speaker by this company. I'd love to come and speak for you and they'll even pay my fee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an opportunity that you have. Obviously getting clients, selling books, products, merchandise, referrals for more future speaking gigs, PR. If you're going and you're speaking at a conference, you could then pitch the media and give them a topic and say, hey, I'm in town to speak at this conference. Here's a segment idea that I think would be really great for your people. I feel like at the end of the day, I don't consider myself a speaker first and foremost, but I do consider speaking to be the means by which people find me and realize that I am legit. And when I get a chance to teach and to train and speak, that's when I develop the highest level of rapport and people move the quickest into my funnels and become clients of ours.
I really love that because, once again, begin with the end in mind is very near and dear to my heart. And so you always want to say yes or no to something and move accordingly to the purpose that it serves and what's the end result that you have in mind for it, right? So to your, you said, you asked me earlier, what kind of speaker are you? And I went somewhere else with it. But based on those categories, I would say that I am a paid speaker, like the keynote mm-hmm. piece, or paid to sell, or speak to sell, because even the leads, that's currency, right? So even though it may not be speak to introduce them to a program or speak to introduce them to, you know, a purchase that they might have for me, et cetera, or hire me for future anything. The lead itself is currency because mm-hmm. that can convert that later and after relationship building and so forth. And I think yeah. it's so important to there's something else that you said about which one of these matches the season in your business that you are in.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though we may want to, oh, that'd be nice to get paid $10,000 to speak for 90 minutes. That's awesome. Right. And does it make sense for your target audience for what you're offering for the selling, or could you make more money doing the speak to sell model, you know? And it also yeah. just with your own personality, it's like on your own sales skills and, you know, all of those other variables, then does it lend itself
mm-hmm.
to be a strategy that you can then leverage? Yeah.
100%. And, you know, it's not a one size fits all experience. That's what I hope people take away from this conversation is that every business can benefit from the visibility, from the quick conversions, from the brand, positive brand associations. Every company can benefit from that. But it's not a one size fits all conveyor belt type experience. You really can look at it and say, what's the best way for me to do this? I am not looking to do a ton of speaking in 2023. But if I was, I'll tell you what I would be looking for is I would be looking for small rooms of 30 to 50 high-level business owners. That's what I would want. People who have been in business for 5 to 10 years. They're doing around $1 million, but they're maxed out because they feel like they're doing all of the work on their own. That is what I would be looking for. I wouldn't be looking for big, flashy stages. I wouldn't be looking for a lot of like big entrepreneur conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I would be looking for small rooms of the right people.
Yeah.
And if those come along, I would for sure say yes to them.
Mm-hmm.
If like big entrepreneur conferences with 20 different speakers and all, you know, they've got 500 people in the room, but a lot of them are just brand new newbies, I probably would say no.
Mm-hmm.
So really understanding what your specific goals and objectives are is mm-hmm. going to help you know how to navigate these waters.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing that I will say is stand out as a speaker. And I totally understand this, and I say this without judgment, but when most people come into the space of speaking, they come in with a very vanilla message.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a client who's brilliant. When he came to me, he had this message of like personal development, improving your thinking, and it wasn't going anywhere. And when I really got into it, I was like, what, like, tell me about you. What are you known for? What's really unique about you? And he starts telling me all this stuff about his day's branding. Like he did the corporate branding for Jelly Bellies when they were doing Harry Potter's Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Jeans.
Wow.
That was his branding.
Yeah.
He's done branding for Reebok and all of these big brands. And he's so passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we started talking about it, I was like, why are you not talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know. Like I want to be a speaker. And he had this just generic message that was never, ever, ever going to stand out. So don't follow what everybody else is doing. Like Monica mentioned earlier, she likes to be the disruptor. I like to go into the room and figure out what everybody else is talking about and then figure out what am I going to do so I come across as unique, different, and I stand out in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally at a conference once. You'll like this story, Monica. I don't think I've ever told you this before. I was at a conference. It was the Black Belt Speakers Conference. Reuben West runs it. It's a phenomenal conference.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl Wood was there and Darnielle Jervy was there. And like, I'm pretty sure I was the only white speaker that was there. And by the way, these are phenomenal speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the audience was probably like, 90% African-American. There was a few white people in there. And so I'm sitting here and like every single one of these speakers makes me want to sit there and just eat popcorn while I'm listening to them. Like they're so good.
Yes.
They're eloquent. They're entertaining. They're charismatic. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I was like, okay, if I have a shot in the dark in this room, I'm going to have to come in and I'm going to have to be totally different from what they're, from what they've got going on. And so they're dropping all of these like hip hop references. I don't even know who most of the people are that they're talking about. Everyone's standing up and dancing. And it was the one song where they're like, put your hands up and they stay there. Right.
Yeah.
And anyway, like I totally missed the cues of when I was supposed to stand still and when I was supposed to keep moving my hands. So I was moving my hands when they were supposed to be standing still. Like it was just, you know, you get the picture.
Yes.
And so I went in and I was like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am not going to be the best speaker that you hear from today. And I know no hip hop references unless we count the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, in which case I know every word. And then the DJ played it. He starts playing Fresh Prince. And so I totally rapped the first verse. And it was like, from that moment, we were good.
Yes.
Because I didn't try to be what everybody else was there. I was like, what do I bring to the table today? I bring to the table processes behind the speaking business.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the moment of like awareness of what everybody else was doing, I was like, I have to come in and be different or there's no way I'm going to stand out in this room. Yes. Everybody else is too good.
Yes.
So I don't want you guys to go in with a message that is going to get absorbed into the void of vanilla and it will get forgotten.
Yeah.
You've got to be memorable.
Yes. And to your point about the Fresh Prince reference, it's like, it's something that was authentic to you, you know, almost in all of my speaking engagements, I always tell people about musical Tourette's, honey, because I might break out in song and you need to know that. I need you to not freak out.
Yes. And know what you bring to the table. So first and foremost, I'm an informative speaker.
Yes.
I'm not an entertaining speaker. I'm not a motivating speaker. I am an informative speaker who's a little quirky and a little goofy, and that's my zone. And when I stay in that zone, I do really well.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to shift into like, I'm going to be the, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. who's going to move everybody into action, that's not the type of speaker that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get clear on where you excel, who you need to be speaking to, and what is your flow in your zone, that's where I feel like the magic happens as a speaker.
What would you say? What kind of speaker would you say that I am? You've seen me.
I think you're right. I think you're a disruptive speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So like you go in and you change the thought, you disrupt the thought process.
Yeah.
The status quo thought process.
Yep. Yeah. Because people.
And you have like a calm vibe too when you're speaking.
Really? Am I Zen?
You have like a Zen vibe. It's like you're kind of like an Oprah type speaker where like Oprah is, she has this calm vibe, but she is going to cause you to look at things from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she's not like, you know, like, I mean, we've been at events together before where speakers are like standing on chairs and yelling at people.
Yes.
You know?
That will never be me. Will not allow it. Yes, that's true.
But I think that's the space is you're like the thought changer and you do it in a really like grounded, stable way.
Well, that's better than the last time somebody described my speaking. She said that I'm a ninja mind bomb. I was like, what the heck does that even mean? She's like, you know, it's like a bomb that you lay there like a ninja and then it goes off in your mind like, what did she just say? What? I have to reinvent my whole life. I was like, wow, okay. But you do it so quietly.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. I loved picking your brain about this, Amy, because one of the things that I appreciate is that you keep your finger on the pulse of this industry for a couple of reasons. One, because you're in it and you make money off of it. But two, because you have such a diversity of clients that you serve, that it requires you to be proficient in a lot of the ways in which we generate leads, and a lot of the ways that we deliver our services, and a lot of the ways that we create our thought leadership. So I just really appreciate everything you've shared with us today.
Thank you. And for the rest of you who are listening, are you, here's what I want to know from you. Are you currently speaking and looking to speak more, or are you looking to break into speaking? Mm-hmm. And behind that, why? Mm-hmm. Are you doing it to get clients? Are you doing it for the speaker fee? Let us know in the comments. And of course, connect with us on Instagram. I'm at Amy Walker Coach, and Monica is at Monica Ogando.
Yes, we love you. See you next time.
Thanks so much for being here.
Ciao.